Hey everyone, it's Rachel Roberts
and Megan Segura.
Welcome to The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast.
We're digital producers coming to you from BravoTV.com offices at Rockefeller Center. So this week has taken a toll on my self-esteem. I don't know about you.
The darkest week I think I've had since middle school.
So we won't use names.
No.
There's this guy. His name rhymes with Duke. He comes to the office whenever Bravo Lebs are in town. Helps capture stuff for Snapchat. Very important job. He is a fan of what we're doing and was like, hey, I have this really cool idea. I want to create these like stickers around you and Rachel, and we'll kind of videoify like some of your interviews. It'll be really fun and really cool, and you guys will look fantastic.
Right, and then we'll play it on Snapchat. We're like, oh, okay, we trust you because literally every Bravo celebrity has been in your hands.
Right.
You know what you're doing.
Right.
He is just videoing us, or video one at a time, like, hey, I'm going to turn these into the stickers. So what he's asking me is, like, what are your favorite shows? Who's a celebrity you want to meet? What are your weekend plans? And I'm doing it with, like, expressive faces. And he then, like, kind of coaches, like, well, do a happy face, do a sad face. Was it the same for you?
Yeah, yeah. I forget what he asked me about, but he was like, be animated, and I'll just, like, take a video and take shots of you as you're doing this.
Okay. Imagine the worst photo that's ever been taken of you. Like when you're in the middle of blinking,
sneezing,
eating, just like group photo where you're like, no, you guys cannot post this because I look so bad. That was every single one of these shots.
Right. It was like he purposely chose the moments in between the poses. Like I was going into happy. I wasn't quite happy yet. And that's the moment he chose to pick.
And we didn't know this until this Monday, Duke was like, hey, did you guys see the stickers? I put them up on Snapchat.
It was really cute. You guys are going to love it.
And we're like, oh my God, send. That would be amazing.
I can't even like.
It was devastating to my self-esteem, which is already fragile.
I had a weird reaction of like, that's not. I mean, I'm beautiful. He just up. I had this like, certainly this isn't a me problem. This isn't my face being weird. This is someone choosing a weird photo of my beautiful face.
And that I couldn't stop looking at them.
They're real bad.
So then we had to have a sit down with Grace to be like, going forward, I think we A, need someone to be looking at these before they go up. Maybe we need photo approval.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I had a moment of like, this is why celebrities are insane.
Right.
Because this happens to you one time and you're like, never again. I need approval on everything.
So you would not have passed Kris Jenner's momager school.
No, I'm so sorry.
Failed.
I take full responsibility
for your ugly faces.
By the way, he tried to do it on a day when like we weren't like doing an interview and like looked nice, and we were like, no, can we do it in a couple days so we can like get ourselves together a little bit? So we clearly
that was us on our good day.
Too bad Kylie didn't tell everyone she didn't use Snapchat last week. Because then we wouldn't have to worry at all.
You guys are beautiful. I'm going to take you to the mall, to the picture people, and I'll take some glamour shots to boost that self-esteem.
Ugh. Similarly, Grace had a funny photo experience, which is when Cynthia was in the office, who's so nice and like was. Grace was like, hi, I'm Grace. Cynthia's like, I've met you before. I've been here before.
Were you dying?
It was incredible.
And then at the end, we always take photos with the Bravo Lebs, but Grace is always the one taking the photo, as the momager does. And Cynthia was like, well, don't you want a photo? And Grace was like, no.
Oh, Grace!
Well, I wasn't my best self that day, and the pictures will never see social media because Cynthia is 12 times as gorgeous in person as you think she is on the show. She's also incredibly tall.
Well, so after Grace said no and Cynthia looked a little hurt, she's like, no, I mean, let's do a selfie. So Grace uses her selfie hand to take the photo.
No, but then I handed it to the press person.
Oh. Can I see the selfie?
No, you may not. Grace, okay, no, I'm going to show.
The world saw us.
I'm going to mid-smile. It's so bad.
Oh, it's not bad. You look cute, Grace.
I absolutely But do you know, not.
More than ever before, you remind me of Peppermint Patty's friend.
Oh, Marcy. God.
Right?
Yeah, this isn't bad.
Like, you would call Cynthia sir.
This isn't bad at all.
Cynthia is your Peppermint Patty in this photo.
I was Marcy for a lot of Halloweens because it's basically the same costume as Velma.
Right, I was Velma once for Halloween. Anyway, so those of you who saw the Snapchat, I'm sure you're like horrified that that's what we look like in person because our voices are so lovely.
If you didn't see it, please don't look it up.
Yeah, don't try to find it. It's best that you didn't see it.
Yeah. Just imagine us as the Hadid sisters.
Exactly. But somewhere where we look fantastic.
Or just like fine.
Right. Is in not terrible. Not like, is that a person? We interviewed Lala.
Right. And
Lala
that's gonna
Kent.
Yeah, and that's gonna be on this episode. But we also filmed it.
Yes.
So you can find videos of it. See how we all looked doing it on BravoTV.com.
I think great.
Yep.
Better than Duke.
So besides that Lala interview, we'll be talking about Real Housewives of Atlanta, Barcelona Part 2.
Barcelona.
And Beverly Hills and Vanderpump Rules.
Oh, boy. Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Oh, man. I didn't think it was going to go so sideways.
It kept going normal, then left. Then normal, then left.
Right, right, right.
Was Porsche's car accident a
foreshadowing?
Yeah.
I think it was like, Porsche's not going to have a great day. That's what we learned. I want to start off with the car accident.
Yeah.
Was it a car accident? What were they
in? It was a go-kart accident.
Yeah.
My car just sped up out of nowhere, and it was just a freak of nature, and I hit the car.
What did it remind you of, if anything?
The Doom Buggies.
Oh,
in OC, Orange County.
Yeah, it's a dark memory.
Well, what it reminded me of, and I thought you might too, because you were a Jersey fan, right?
Jersey Shore.
Okay. I was like, I don't even know what sports teams are in New Jersey.
But when they were in Italy and Snooki hit a police car.
I didn't watch the season they went to Italy because I was like, I don't think I can do that.
You wouldn't like it.
Yeah, I don't. I was
if
like,
that I, dinner in Real Housewives of New Jersey in Milan upset you,
right?
On like, because you were like, they were playing with candle wax, and I felt offended as an American,
right? Exactly.
You will not want to watch that season.
That's exactly how I felt when I heard they were going to Italy. I was like, and they were going to Florence, and I was, and that's where I studied abroad, and I was like, it's not gonna go well for them because it's a small city. It's like quiet, like it's not the Jersey Shore,
right?
Anyway, do you think that something was wrong with the brakes?
I don't know. But if they weren't, she was just really leaning into that narrative.
Right. She was like, no, no, it was the brakes. Was it, Portia?
I was pressing on the brake.
Bitch, I was pressing on the gas.
No, I was not. I was pressing on the brake.
Portia's saying she had faulty brakes.
I kept thinking that all of them are not dressed appropriately to be driving, though.
Right, like the heels, too.
Right, the only one that had sensible shoes on was Eva.
Right. She knew, so she's...
Yeah. She's been to Barcelona before. Have you been to Barcelona?
I haven't.
It's beautiful. Bonita, if you will.
Okay.
I was super excited they went to that market because when I was in Barcelona, it was closed because I was there on the weekend. And it was like, I don't know, and like Spain just like closes things sometimes.
The market where they went to have their...
Yeah, it's like very famous.
Yeah.
So they go on these go-karts, Porsche gets in an accident, and they go to this dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts off fun, just like tapas.
It starts with a bottle of vodka.
Yes! An entire bottle of Absolut, which by the way, what was almost my rose this week was at the end after they have this big fight and they all leave. Nina goes, don't forget the Absolut.
Oh, yeah.
Let's calm down.
Come on, boo. Get our Absolut, though.
I've just never been to a dinner where we're like, oh, a bottle of vodka, please.
Do we just need to get a bottle of vodka?
Oh, okay, girl. So bring us a bottle of Absolute.
I know, but I mean, it was like, it made sense because there's like 10 of them.
Yeah.
If you're all having a cocktail. I don't know. I guess it's a little shot. It's not like a bottle of wine.
I mean, we talked on Vanderpump about like starting a meal off with shots. Being a foreign experience for most of us.
Right. So this dinner, it just continues. It like goes bad and then everyone's like, oh, no, we'll just make a joke out of it. And then it goes bad and it's like, oh, no.
Right. Because what would you say the issue was?
The issue was, Kim?
Yeah.
Kim. What? So this Kim Roach video still in the air. Everybody is still upset about it. And what we're really getting down to now is, friends of Kim, are you going to have a talk to her about it? Because it's not cool. And as somebody's friend, you should be like, hey, man, that wasn't the right thing.
Right.
Sheree maintains, I have no business talking to Kim about how she raises her children.
And it's up to anybody that's cool with her to tell her that is inappropriate to do that.
Thank you.
Cool with who? I ain't got nothing to do with your kid.
Well, that's how Kim parents her kids. That's not how I parent my kids. But that's not something I would talk to her about. That's not, it's not my place.
Which I think it's a strange remark.
Well, it does get tricky when the kids are involved.
She's 20.
I know, but still, I don't know.
I don't know.
That's how you get the mama bear to, like, kill you.
Right, and I do think that don't say Brielle should or shouldn't have done it. Maybe it's, hey,
you
Kim.
You shouldn't have shared it with all of
us. Stick to Kim.
Yes.
And you're in the clear.
And I think Sheree did concede, I'll say something to her. And then she quickly changed the subject.
Right.
But Portia, rightly so, I don't know, was like, Nene and Kim are going at each other's throats and getting back together all the time. Why would I put myself in the middle of that?
Right. I'm not going to, because in 2 weeks they're going to be fine again. So yes. I'm not, and then they're going to blow up at each other again. I'm not going to get involved. Why do I need to get involved?
I know Kim and Nene's relationship. They will cut each other down to the white meat. And 2 seconds later, they're best friends. So I'm not going to get in the middle of that.
Nene, not so upset by that, but Marlo was pissed.
Portia, are you going to have a conversation with Kim?
It's not my problem.
It's your friend, though. Are you going
to
tell her that?
I'm getting to know her. Thank you.
Oh, you just
don't need
getting
to
know Kim?
I need to hold my feet to the fire for anything.
That. Are you going to tell Kim that Nene, Cynthia, and Candy...
I just asked you a question.
So you guys didn't know about it?
And this has been a theme, and Candy even says it later in the episode... Every time Portia starts to feel bad or in the wrong, everyone's like, well, you made Candy feel really bad.
Yes.
You weren't crying about the lie you told.
Candy,
I know what she went through. I feel bad, too. People don't think about stuff.
And it's so true. Like, it's happened so many times over this season of the moment Portia tries to get vulnerable or, like, is affected, it's like she's not allowed because of this horrible thing that she did to Candy that is still not fixed.
Right.
I wrote down... If she just fixed it, it would all go away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she would be allowed to have her own feelings.
But even if, let's say, she had given world's best apology to Candy, Marlo still would have come for her doormat.
Home sweet home. This matter is really small. Maybe she doesn't know any better.
It's true. But I think that was supposed to be, like, a light thing.
Right.
It was supposed, because they were talking about going to people's homes, what's inappropriate about that, was it inappropriate for Brielle to take the video? She was already shading her because it was like, she was talking about how the mirror was on the cabinet rather than like above the cabinet. And Nene's kind of like, how are we going into each other's homes at all and shading people about being from IKEA or, you know, the mirror not being in the right place. Like, we all worked really, really hard to get, like, a $2 million house. Why are we doing this to each other?
Yeah.
And then Marlo threw a little shade at the mat.
There were certain things in your home I didn't like. I felt your doormat should have been larger. I would never be a messy bitch and take a picture of it.
You're being a messy bitch.
Well, no, this is the sandwich right now.
Thank you.
I'm just being honest.
And that was just... not the thing to say, because apparently Portia's mother bought her that bath mat.
It's not a bath mat.
Welcome mat. I keep saying bath mat. Welcome mat. Which would be even weirder if it was a bath mat. And so then Portia starts to get emotional because her mom bought it for her.
Don't you start crying about a doormat.
I'm just thinking about what's going on? What happened?
She crying because my mama bought her that doormat, like, and y'all are scared of doormat.
Yeah, it's just a doormat, but my mom bought me that when I bought that home.
I know.
Which, okay, that was weird. And right. I just wasn't even able to.
Maybe the tentacles, like, made her emotional. I don't know.
But I knew we were headed toward troubled waters when the fan came out.
I just, even when I saw it earlier, when she was just like during the day, like dancing with it, I was like, this is going to go badly. Because we know these ladies can't be in a room with a fan.
With props of any sort.
Right, right. They should know better already.
You do not have the right to talk.
Bitch, don't point me.
Oh, wait a minute. That is like waving that red flag in front of a bull.
Let's go.
So Marlo basically is like, are you really crying over this mat right now? Because you didn't cry over the lie you told on Candy. And then that just explodes, basically.
Right.
And then Portia starts putting the fan in her face. Marlo starts ripping the fan out of her hand.
Security comes.
Well, it depends on who you ask, too, because Portia says she was not putting the fan in her face.
Right.
You leaning all in while I'm fanning myself.
So you didn't put it in her face?
All I know is that she started being in my personal space first.
At one point, Marlo's still kind of like angry about it on the street, and Candy's like, the police are here. Can you be quiet? Like, let's settle it down.
But I wrote down, does Marlo think Portia is fat?
You really need to chill. You really do.
You really need to eat healthier and stop being a baby.
And you do, and you got
it. I think that she's being really shady because I don't know if you remember when we all met Portia. She didn't have her boob implants. She was like a very like waify, like she was more slender than she is now. So I think she was being kind of mean. Because I don't, obviously she's like insane looking in the best way.
Yeah, I'm looking at a photo of her right now. I'm just like, I don't understand.
I just think it's the difference between like she was like very skinny and now she's like thick.
Yeah.
But she looks amazing.
I know.
So Marlo was just being shady.
So then we find out Portia's leaving. Yeah. She will not be moving on to the new abode that Nene has secured.
They all were so happy that they weren't staying in this villa anymore.
I have a hotel room.
I don't know why, but for the first time, Portia really gets it through her head that everyone's still mad at her about the candy thing, and she just needs to own up to it.
Yeah.
Why that hadn't occurred to her before, because she says in an interview something to the effect of, had I known that was what I needed to say, I would have said it.
Trust me, if I knew that that's the statement that would stop their so-called silver bullet, I would have said it. But I thought that me going to people individually would be more powerful.
How do you not know this, Portia?
We know.
We know. We're not even in it. And you know, Nene says to the effect of, until you do that, anytime there's any confrontation with you, people are going to go back to that because you didn't act right, essentially.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't do the right thing.
This makes me feel like Bravo really needs to think about doing a show that is a Housewives Vacation / Hunger Games sort of spinoff, and, like, who will be the last one standing at the end of a trip.
What would the different...
Oh, like
quarters, you know?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
For those of you who read the Hunger Games or watch the movies,
you'd have to encounter mildewy house.
Oh, a whole section would just be choosing rooms.
Right. You would keep the house not totally air conditioned. Maybe not enough alcohol.
Ooh, or too much.
Yep.
Bushes, just bushes everywhere.
Bushes everywhere.
A subpar yacht.
Yeah, boat ride.
Yeah, things always go badly on boat rides.
Yep.
Sounds great. We're going to pitch it right now. But what did you think about Portia leaving? Did you think it was a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it shows maturity in her that she's just like, I don't want to keep being seen, let's say, by anyone watching this show as someone who can't handle herself. And tonight I couldn't handle myself. So I'm going to go home.
Right.
But it makes me sad as a viewer.
I agree. I thought it was like, when Nene was really like, I can see Portia's not in a good place. She needs to go. I was like, okay, if Nene says it.
Yeah.
Something is wrong with Portia. I mean, I can see it all in her eyes. This is my time to really be serious with Portia and become her big sister once again.
But I can't wait for next week.
I know. But for now, adieu? Adios.
Oh, right.
Your last name is Segura.
Adios, Portia.
So, Grace, you and I both wear glasses.
We do.
So you know the struggle of finding cute glasses that are affordable. It's really hard.
It's the worst.
My friend actually introduced me to Warby Parker, and I have only bought Warby Parker glasses.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, I'm wearing them right now.
They look gorgeous.
Thank you. But what's super great is that while they do have brick and mortars, they have this free home try-on program where you go to a website, they send you 5 pairs to try on at home to choose from, and then you just put in the information and get your glasses sent to your home.
They have this app where you sort of, you do the home try-on and then you take a selfie so then I could put back on my prescription glasses and actually see what I looked like. So I actually wound up getting the sunglasses. The sunglasses, they're like polarized, which I don't really know what it means, but it's good for your eyes. They're UV protected and, like all Warby Parker glasses, are scratch proof.
And I just want to remind everyone, the glasses start at $95 and you can get your own by going to warbyparker.com/dish to order your free home try-ons today.
And for every pair you buy, they distribute one to someone in need.
Go to warbyparker.com/dish to get your free 5 glasses for home try-on.
Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
In New York City.
Yeah. So
it's a quiet episode.
I know. Literally.
I know.
Quiet episode because Dorit not feeling chatty.
For the first time in her life.
On the bus ride to the fashion show to see Camille's daughter, Mason, walk. And poor Dorit can't catch a break. She's either too chatty or not chatty enough, and it makes everyone uncomfortable.
This is the most awkward car ride I've had in a very long time.
Dorit, you're quiet.
You okay?
So tired.
Okay.
I did not know that Dorit was capable of not talking for this long, which is making me a lot more uncomfortable.
But meeting Mason, and I think we've met her before briefly on the show, but I'm always struck by how quiet and polite she is.
It makes sense to me, though, because Camille's a very reserved person.
True.
And, like, quiet and, like, soft.
But she grew up with Frasier money. She grew up with Simpsons money.
I'm sorry. I don't know why that, like, Frasier money is like...
It went into syndication. I can't imagine how much
Frasier
makes.
Frasier money is very, like, pretentious and pedantic, right? Like, that's what Frasier money is.
I would have been a monster.
Well, clearly Camille kept the girl grounded.
Well, what's funny is, so Jocelyn, who's been on the podcast before, she was going to interview Mason because she was walking again just a few weeks ago.
Last week? Oh, yeah. I don't know. I guess it's 2 weeks ago now.
And I said, ask her if she gets an allowance. Because I'm always curious, like, how do rich kids, how does
get money,
life work for them? And apparently she said, oh, I don't get an allowance. I mean, sometimes my mom will give me $20 if I'm going to the mall. And I was like, what? There's nothing in this world that costs $20.
She meant like
$200. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, just down-to-earth gal.
Maybe she's making her own money. And when she says I don't have an allowance, it's like because I have this bank account with a card and then I just use that.
She's like, oh, you mean my checking account? I was like, I don't know, like $40,000. I'm running low this week. Yeah, okay. So what I liked about this episode, because honestly, last week I was struggling to even know how to talk about what's going on in the show right now.
I think it was obvious for our listeners.
Yeah.
We were like, this is just a show.
Like, I mean, because it is just this very roundabout, she's mad at her because she said, like, whatever. But Lisa Rinna was all of us in this episode, mm-hmm. where she's just like, I don't know what's happening. Do I want to know? Okay, I want to know. Like, just...
I loved it when she was like, I mean, Lisa and Kyle just have a weird relationship. They just do. It's weird. It's weird, okay? It's weird.
Kyle and Lisa have a weird f-ing relationship, right? It's weird. Always has been. Always will be.
But she made the excellent point that threesomes don't work.
There's a third person. Threesomes don't work, ever. It always leads to trouble, right? So now these 40 and 50-year-old women, and maybe almost 60, are having problems with threesome. It's a threesome.
Someone is always feeling left out at the end.
Right.
You just didn't get enough love.
Right.
Well, Grace is shaking her head no. Like,
she believes in throuples, so it's like a whole thing.
I do believe in throuples, but I was going to be like, do you think this threesome works?
Oh, no.
No.
Who's who?
Wait,
can you tell the story about how you texted Rachel? Or was it?
Yeah, no.
Grace wants me to be in a throuple.
Tell everyone what a throuple is.
A throuple is just a polygamous? No.
Polyamorous.
That's wrong. A polyamorous relationship between three people where all people are emotionally fulfilled. And, I mean, the sexual politics can be worked out in many different ways. But I have this friend who's in an open relationship, and I tried to set Rachel up with, like, them, and she was not excited about it.
No.
I think, but, like, the text was so funny. It was, like, oh, I wish you could remember.
This is when we were out at Marie's Crisis.
Yeah, and I think we said, like, your friend's cute. You should set Rachel up. And she was like, oh, this would be perfect. It would be a throuple or something like that.
Because they have an open relationship. Mm. But to be clear, no. And even if I was a yes, I would not want to date them both. I would just date him.
Mm.
I don't think, like, I don't have to date her in this throuple, do I?
Well, I mean.
Anyway,
I'm sorry. Wait.
I'm sorry. I just one more question. Do throuples always have threesomes?
No.
Okay.
So, I know a throuple that one of the women is, like, kind of asexual. Like, she's not interested in sex with men or women. So, like, they're sort of the guy and that woman are kind of, like, the primary romantic pairing. But then the other girl, like, has a sexual and semi-romantic relationship with the guy, and then they all hang out together and, like, go on vacation. But it's not like the girls sleep together.
When you say it's romantic, like, what makes the difference between me and my boyfriend and then me and, like, you hanging out, to me, is sex. So if they're not having sex, what makes it romantic?
Well, you're just opening a whole kettle of fish. Like, you...
That is not a saying.
A kettle of fish?
Can of worms?
Isn't kettle of fish a... No.
I don't think that's a saying, Greg.
I would not make
what
that up.
What is a kettle? Like a
kettle?
Tea kettle?
I don't... Now that I say it, it doesn't sound
kettle
right.
Kettle of fish. Is this something that your grandma said or something?
This is maybe a Jacksism.
But
it's
yes.
It's a place in New York.
Kettle of fish. I don't know. Can of worms. That's a whole can of worms. Yes, you can have romantic relationships that are not sexual.
Anyway, I feel like we've gone
off the rail.
All right. So the real
threesomes.
No, the real feature of this episode is Bethany Frankel herself.
Yes.
Coming to support her good friend Kyle Richards at Kyle's store in New York.
Oh my God! I'm going to bed!
It is fake. The faux bob. My hair's tucked under.
Really?
Yes!
That's amazing.
Wait, I think I'm hugging you. I thought you were going to bed. You tricked me.
I was, but I came.
Wait, I got to find you.
Bethany and I have been friends for over 25 years.
And we get to see more of Matt, her godson.
Yes.
Matthew is extremely talented. He was on Project Runway Junior when he was just a kid.
Oh yes. My God.
Look at that. Okay.
Yes.
That is everything.
I liked his sparkly choker.
Yep. And his nails.
Oh, I didn't see his nails.
His nails are like Kylie Jenner nails.
Okay, long, pointy. Okay.
But so when Bethany hears about, again, this whole threesome
debacle
feud, she and Lisa kind of go at it.
Yes.
Vanderpump, I mean.
She said she got caught in the crossfire. Something happened.
She was defending you and she got...
Yeah, and I really thank you for defending me, but then it was... But you thanked me, but then you were like, all right with you, Dory.
It was a thank you,
Thank you.
Fuck you, we call it.
That was a fuck you.
That was a fuck you.
And that was crazy to me to watch, because I think you can look at every...
franchise.
And pick out, like, an alpha. And you had two alphas.
Right. And there could be more than one alpha in the franchise.
Right. But in this case, two alphas.
Yes. And it was like, I loved the moment when Bethany said something like, but you know what you're doing to Lisa. And Lisa's like, don't give me that look.
Well, I have no problem, you know, going head to head with Bethany.
Could you just stop, okay? Don't look at me like that. I see that look on your face.
Really?
Yes, and I know what's coming in my direction. So no, settle down.
No, but you're like, I couldn't let her go alone.
That's
but she
says
I imitate her like that too. She's a big girl.
But good news is Bethany and Erica are okay now.
Right. They're great, despite those silver bed sheets.
Yes.
He's trying to be like avant-garde, but it's not quite getting it with that kind of like silver cheesy bed.
You know, she's one of those big dogs that wants to pee all over everything. You know, whatever, girl. But she's actually a heart of gold.
That was such a good performance at Christina's. It was so fun. You worked really hard.
Thanks. That was fun.
And then at the end of the episode, I dare say Lisa Vanderpump rivaled Stassi's apology from last week.
I do want to apologize for, and I mean this 1,000%, I made a mistake. There's no buts, ifs, ands, or howevers, none of that. I am sorry that I neglected you, and I didn't realize you were that upset.
There were no ifs, ands, buts. I'm sorry, Kyle. I hurt your feelings.
Right, because it was such an amazing moment when she tried to say I'm sorry to Kyle in the store with Bethany. And she went in for the I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings.
Right, and Bethany
and
was
they
like,
all
no.
were like, no. And I wanted someone to be like, housewife's apology. Like, we need like an alert or something.
That's not an apology.
But they at this point, I feel like they all know that that's not okay.
Yes.
And that you're in the wrong if you do that kind of apology.
Yes.
Say, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry if you were upset.
No!
See?
No!
I told you, you think you
No. Written. No!
Yeah, that's what
I'm
it is.
I'm sorry that you have a mental issue and you...
I'm sorry that...
It was great. It was just a great crossover moment.
One last parting thought on Beverly Hills. When Lisa Vanderpump did an impersonation of Kyle Richards' voice, it was so good.
Yeah, but I don't sit there saying, oh, I just
why do
so
you do that?
So
taking the piss. Like, yeah, why do you take the piss out of my accent? Then I don't go, oh, well, yeah, I said that. I really said that. Well, I don't talk like that either.
She was not far off. And Kyle's like, that's not how I sound. It's like, yes, it is.
It's exactly like she sounds.
Because, by the way, this is not an insult. Many of the greats have this attribute. Lindsay Lohan, Emma Stone. Sounds like they gargle with rocks.
Oh, I thought you were going to just say,
That's what I mean, though.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like it.
Do you?
That's good.
Do you?
I wish my voice was cooler.
Oh, it's like Phoebe.
Yeah. Yes. Sexy phlegm.
Sexy phlegm.
But yeah, I was super happy that, like, Lisa, you know, came to the plate correct.
Yep.
Because I think it was really hard for her to kind of like eat crow a little bit. But she did it. But someone we didn't talk about really in this episode yet. Erica Girardi / Jane. So now it's time for
the most Erica Jane moment of the week.
With Eric J. Mack.
Gonna give the gays everything they want.
So hey guys. So this is a little controversial, but the most Erica Jane moment of the week for me this week was Lisa Rinna in that pink jumpsuit at Kyle's in-store.
I know.
Ooh, I did not see that coming.
In the coat or just
Well, definitely sans when the coat went on, that was when I was like, this is it. This is the moment. And Megan, our favorite person, Matthew,
yes.
was present
yes.
and he called her the baddest bitch in the room wearing
yes.
that outfit.
So good. I'll sell this coat right now.
Right now, I think you might be the baddest bitch in the room.
That is like winning an Oscar to be called the baddest bitch in town.
Just
looked
like
amazing.
The Oscars.
Just like the, yeah, right? Yeah, she was like, that's just like the Oscars. But I do have to say, you know, going back to Erica, because it is the most Erica Jane moment of the week, the bangs look, which she referred to as Kim Basinger's movie, like the Kim Basinger look in the movie 9½,
yeah,
9½ weeks.
I literally said today, I want to be Kim Basinger 9½ weeks. I think of things like that. Then it makes it fun. Otherwise,
yeah,
dressing up is a drag.
I live to entertain. This is fun. This is why I have all this.
Have you seen that?
Yes.
You have?
Yeah.
Have you?
You?
No, I've never seen it, but
it's
I read the description and it's like
a sexy movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's basically 50 Shades of Grey, I feel like. But like in 1986, right? I mean, I was like, this is right up Megan's alley.
Is that the one with Hugh Grant? Am I thinking?
Who's her co-star in it? I don't know.
Or am I thinking 9 months? That's a different
this
movie.
This is...
Yeah,
Mickey Rourke. Wow.
Young Mickey Rourke, though, was so hot.
Christine Baranski is in it, too.
I know it's a very controversial opinion now because you look at his face, he looks like Leatherman or something, but God. He was he has fucked up his face. It's just true. But he was so hot in the 80s. Anyway,
we digress.
We would have sex with him in a dumpster in the 80s, is what I'm saying.
I dig it.
Oh, hey, I had sex in the dumpster.
Anyway, thank you, Eric.
Thanks, guys, and I'll see you next Tuesday.
And I will see you next Tuesday.
So moving on to Vanderpump Rules, the Jax is drowning episode.
If this is a Friends episode, it'd be like the one where Jax drowns.
Yeah. Because really, we spend so much of this episode talking about it.
But I love that all of them are just like laughing.
I know.
Like they have no shame in the fact that he like almost died. But if you just couldn't run like 50 feet.
Right.
Maybe don't go jump in the water to try to swim 100 yards.
Yeah.
Morning, buddy. What's the water?
I'm ready. Right? I run every day. 4 miles a day, no problem. I ran maybe 20 feet out there. I went to the top.
Go ahead.
I can't breathe.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to swim to that buoy and back.
Don't rush it. Just take your time.
All right.
Like if you start rushing it, you'll just die.
I also felt bad for him because over the last couple of seasons, people have been kind of poking at him for gaining weight. And he's always like, what are you talking about? But so now he's trying to get back into this fitness kick and he almost dies.
Health is literally killing him.
Also, I would never want that lifeguard that was on duty at the lake
is
to be
serious?
My lifeguard.
The pain is hitting me right in my chest. I'm not going to make it back.
You can come and help me if you want. You can come and help.
Are you serious?
You can come and help me.
No. Here.
Like, he was laid back in, like, the most relaxed, I don't want to get up position ever.
But I will say, Jax's, like, cries for help were like, you can help me if you want.
He probably was, like, trying not to be such a puss about it, but then was like, no, wait, I'm dying.
It's so funny that you say that because I was talking to Darren Karp that we talked to a few weeks ago.
Andy's assistant.
And she was like, what a puss. It's funny that you use the same words. But he's fine. He made it.
But he talks about it the rest of the episode.
Ugh.
I almost died.
I know.
My life flashed before my eyes.
Oh my God, I was going to say, this is maybe the best montage. We had so many good flashbacks in this episode in general, but oh my God, his life is just a series of people calling him an asshole and like f***ing up.
But then showing again at the end, I'm going to go swim to the buoy.
Literally, I'm like, I'm going to die. And my life flashbacks in my head.
You're a big pussy.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Where is he? I want to kill him.
Come and help me.
All the people that I'm not going to see ever again.
I don't want to see you again. You are an asshole.
You're an asshole.
All the dumb shit that I did.
Tom. Is that blood, dude?
And it was for a felony charge. It's a stupid thing.
You did have sex with her?
Yes.
Rotten hill.
Satisfy your girlfriend.
Did I ever do that?
Let's swim that buoy back.
Also, when he comes in, he's like, I almost died. And then nobody reacts. And then Lala goes, can I have a beer now? Is it too early?
Hey, I almost died.
Would it be bad to pop a beer at this hour?
Like, that's the level of everyone, like, doesn't care for Jax's dramatics anymore.
That was such an uplifting moment of this episode. But I think what kind of was a downer this episode was seeing more of Rob and Sheena's relationship.
I know. I don't think that them together when they're together is bad, but like hearing him talk just made me so sad.
Right now, her whole thing is she's like, I love you. And she's like, wait, should we say it back? I do love her as a person, and I definitely have love feelings, but that word is something you just don't, like, you don't throw it around.
First of all, I have several thoughts about this. Everyone always gets on Sheena for saying that she's been dating Rob for 10 years, but he says it too.
How are you and Sheena doing?
Good. I mean, we were dating for 10 years, pretty much. She was married for 6, so we didn't hang out.
I think she was single for like a week.
No, she was single for a while.
So I was like, that's interesting that they both are working with this narrative. It's such a weird phrasing of it. Then he says, well, you know, I almost married someone.
Oh, right.
When we weren't together. She was actually the princess of Brunei.
I mean, I was almost married before Sheena. And she was a princess. Like, her dad was the prince of Brunei.
So I looked this person up. And it's like, I only saw her in like traditional garb, But I was like, how did you hook up with the Princess of Brunei? Unless this isn't the one. I have no idea.
She looks very young.
Yeah. Anyway, I just, that was interesting to me. And then, of course, she says I love you all the time, and I don't.
Yeah, here's the thing. It's not that I don't like them together either. I just think it. Let's treat it what it is, which is we've been dating a few months now, you know? And the fact that Sheena says I love you to him so much, literally didn't want Tom to start making breakfast for everyone because she wanted it to be fresh for when Rob gets back. It's just like, take it down a notch.
Yeah.
You gotta play it cool sometimes.
I thought someone very wisely was like, I know Sheena, she puts a lot of pressure on herself.
Yes.
So it's like, it's almost like she is acting out her life with him to be perfect because that's what she wants her life to be, because she puts that pressure on her own life. He happens to be a part of that.
She's secreting it. She's putting it out into the universe.
Yeah, but
it's not working.
On his side, though, I will say, just not saying it back, not saying I love you back, that's not enough. Like, we have a coworker who's been dating someone, and he was like, I think he thinks this is more than what it is. I have to tell him tonight it's not that serious for me. That's the right thing to do. That, like, hey, I'm glad you feel that way. I'm not there yet.
Yeah, and it makes me wonder, because at the end we hear Sheena talk about, like, well, I know he loves me because we've looked at houses together, or we've talked about getting married, or he just isn't good at saying it. And I can't think that there's nothing to that.
Right.
Because...
yeah, because you're bringing up a good point. Maybe he's feeding into all of this, but then it's also like, no, but like, I don't love her. I mean, yeah, we're looking for houses together, but like, no, I don't.
Right. So it's like his own issues there that she's like willing to just like ignore or like deal with because she like feels like she really knows how he feels.
He also just seems like that guy. Because remember on Watch What Happens Live where the person goes, well, Sheena, would you ever just give up the show for him? She's like, I've tried to and he won't let me. And he goes, I could never ask her to do that.
Then let her go.
Yeah.
It's the kind of situation that's like at a certain point, if you're not feeling it on the level that she is, then you gotta like just let her go.
He's just not that into you.
Yeah, but maybe he is, and it's like he's just not, I don't know, it's so complicated, right? But I also kind of felt bad for Sheena when everyone was like harshing on her so hard when she was trying to get the house together, because I don't think that was about Rob. I think it was about, I invited all these crazy people over out of respect for, like, this person's house who I'm dating. Like, I didn't think that was crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, Lala.
Hey, what?
Can I come in the hot tub?
One thing about the hot tub it says in here, put it back to...
Oh, God.
Guys, this is someone's house. We have to be respectful.
Make sure the spa is turned to 100 degrees.
Make sure you do that.
Are off and covered, and it is locked so the hobos and the peasants can't use Rob's jacuzzi tomorrow.
The hobos.
She was just being annoying about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Another interesting relationship on this episode, again, was Lala and James. Mm-hmm. But we talked to Lala a little about it, so let's just get into that interview.
Yeah. Well, let's get it popping, Daddy.
Yes,
because Lala is here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here.
Always.
We've always loved you, but I feel like this year you have really shown how much of like a girl's girl, feminist, and just awesome chick that you are. How is this season different than previous?
Well, last season when I left, I had a lot of time to, you know, go back to Utah and reflect on what I stand for and remember my roots. You know, as everyone knows, I run home to mama when I need to. And it was really crazy this round because I remembered my strength, you know, and what I believe in. And I've always been a girl's girl. I've never been the type to attack someone for their looks. So the fact that I allowed things to get to me and I dealt with them in a way that I definitely should not have. So entering again, it definitely helped a lot that I received an apology. But I'm like, you know what? Let's really show who Lala is, what I grew up with, what my mom taught me, what my dad instilled in me, and come to find out, people are still very much entertained by that. So I'm excited because I finally feel like people get to see who I really am and what I stand for.
Well, you are so inspirational to so many people, so many fans. Who inspires you? I know you mentioned your mom and your dad, but who else?
I am inspired by so many different people. I obviously have looked up to Beyonce from the time I was a child because she and her mom have always represented, you know, being women and being empowered and having your own stuff. So I would say that she's my biggest. I know it sounds super cheesy and cliche. Sure everyone says that, but I just remember her from a really young age going, wow, this woman is so classy, yet she's shaking that booty like a champion and embodying her sexuality. I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That really puts everything into context about, like, you know, who you are. Right. And, you know, sexuality doesn't mean that you're not also a feminist.
Right. I think there, however you want to take feminism and, you know, put it out there to the world, I don't really care as long as we're supporting each other.
Yeah.
And there's nothing more incredible than a group of women standing together, supporting each other. I don't care what you look like, where you come from. It's you can't mess with us when we band together, right? It's like, ooh, this is scary. Look at all these men running scared. I'm like, yeah, run, boys.
I do feel like this season you've really taken it upon yourself to kind of be that bonding person to bring all the women together. Was that planned? Did you intend to try to do that?
Not really. I kind of just go into the show and give them Lala, whatever that may be for that day. But I was watching a couple of the girls, like Sheena and Katie, kind of at each other's throats. And I'm like, hold up, why are we fighting with each other when, like, your boyfriend supposedly made out with someone and your husband supposedly made out? Like, shouldn't we be directing the anger towards them and not each other? You know, band together and be like, wow, our men kind of sucked for a second. That's how I felt about it. Yeah. So that's what I tried to put out there. And it was coming to me constantly of, I now see how, I'll never be Britney, she's incredible, but I do get when she gets kind of flustered because she's friends with everybody. I was like, I really just want them to get along. And then in the end, it looked like I needed to have an exorcism. My head looked like it was going to start spinning. But I was trying so hard to get my point across. But I'm like, girlfriend, you should do that with way less Jack Daniels in your system.
There was so much alcohol at that party.
Right? When Peter is lit off his ass, right, you know it's lit, right?
I feel like it's easy to do on Vanderpump Rules.
It's so easy and it's so fun. Right? I hate that I love my drink so much, you know?
Well, I've been doing a big rewatch of Vanderpump Rules. So I just finished with, like, the last two seasons. And I was surprised in real time you're hanging out so much with Kristen Doty.
How crazy is that?
How did that come about?
You know, a lot of people sit there and they're like, she's crazy. And I'm like, no, she's just real. She just wears her crazy on her sleeve, and I love that about her. I'm like, 1,000%. You get them, girl. Yeah. So anybody who, this sounds so lame, but anybody who loves their dog more than life itself, I'm like, you're a good chick. I like you. So we've just started connecting, and she's kind to me. And when I launched my lip line, give them Lala Beauty. Make sure you get that on shoplalabeauty.com.
Nice.
She was so kind and supportive, and it's very telling about someone when they just randomly text you and say, like, hey, I just wanted to say happy Valentine's Day to you and your boo. Wow, you are really a nice person.
Yeah.
So I connect with Kristen. She's a good one.
Aw. Well, someone you, I think, and Kristen have in common are obviously James. Mm-hmm. We saw on social media that you kind of officially unfriended him and said you were done.
Yeah.
Where are you now, or how did that come about, and why?
The way that he spoke about my boyfriend is something that I can't forgive, you know? And I would hope that if my boyfriend had a friend and they spoke about me in the way he spoke about my man, that he would end his friendship with them. That's what I would expect. So the fact that this is my human that I fully intend on spending my whole life with, he has two children, he is the son of someone, he is the brother of someone, and that's how you speak about him, our friendship is very much not ever going to be revived. So, and I stand by that. Mm. Yeah.
Well, we've been watching the Big Bear episodes, and, you know, there's so much flirtation coming from James's side toward you.
Right.
Did you feel in the moment that it was ever disrespectful toward Raquel on his part?
You want to know what's so crazy and sad at the same time is when I'm in it, I just feel like he's being a goofball and like a dork. And then when you watch it, it's like, wow, you really have no boundaries. You know, it's uncomfortable to watch. So he's just an inappropriate person who is a loose cannon, and you never know what hatred he's going to spew, you know? And I need to feel safe in my relationships, and he doesn't make me feel that way, so I have to dismiss him.
We saw you and Raquel kind of have a heart-to-heart about James. Where are you guys at? Are you guys still friends?
I don't think I've ever really been friends with Raquel. She's just James's girlfriend. You know, if they were to break up tomorrow, I don't think I'd ever speak to her again, you know?
Yeah.
Not trying to be rude. I'm just stating.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. So, yeah, she's just kind of there. I tend to not really connect with women who aren't tough bitches.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she lets him get away with murder. And people that are weak, we don't have much in common because it makes me feel like I'm too aggressive, you know, and too rough. I need people around me that are kind of,
right,
that make me feel better about being aggressive and rough, I guess. You're like, so you're not friends with her because she's kind and sweet?
1,000%.
You just need Beyoncé's.
I just need Beyoncé's around me all the time.
It is strange because from an outsider, like, I have no idea what your all's day-to-day is, but watching you and James, I'm like, wow, he regards her as the one that got away. That's how I feel.
Okay.
Does it feel like that to you?
Again, it didn't feel that way in the moment, but now it's being brought to my attention, and I'm like, wow, the things that he's like he was saying in Big Bear, he was like, I loved you, La La. And it's like, what the fuck is happening? You know, who says this? And I have to remind him, you have Raquel inside, and I have a boyfriend that we owe respect to.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I have to tell someone that? Right? I don't feel like I should have to remind you. Hi, Raquel's here. What are you doing?
She's right inside, buddy.
My man's not even here. And I remember, you know, he's right here with me.
Right.
In my heart and soul. Pull it together, Kennedy.
That was crazy to watch because you are just reminded. Like, you have someone and I have someone.
Right.
Right.
And it wasn't about us not being friends anymore, but I would expect someone being that close to me that as we get older, things are going to change. I'm not going to stay out until 4 a.m. and get drunk with you because then my man does not feel safe. And again, safety is a big thing for me. So the fact that he couldn't be happy for me, you know, most of my friends are like, we see Lala when we get to see her because my life is just transitioning, you know?
Yes.
And instead he decides to call him names and say that I'm with him for reasons besides just loving and adoring him. And I'm offended by that because I've told him things and confided in him about a lot. And he just used that against me. And it's like, no one wants to hear about your relationship and like how great it is. Because then it becomes a Robin Sheena thing,
right?
You know, where it's like, it ain't that butterfly rosy,
right?
You know?
And I feel like you always, when you talk to people about relationships, it's not the good stuff. It's always like, oh, I'm having this problem or this is happening.
And it's sad to me because venting to a friend is a beautiful thing. And if you can't do that, you've taken away one of the most epic conversations you can have between friends.
Right.
Don't you think?
No, it's what connects you
and
makes it
you.
Deeper. And
so totally. If I can't do that with somebody, I don't really care to have them around me.
Mm-hmm. It's more surface then.
Surfaced. And I don't have time for surface in my life anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
We're growing up.
Well, speaking of, I guess, growing up, you know, in Big Bear, you saw Jax be like, oh, we were never like that. Like when he was talking about James and we're like, but Jax is like, you know, I'm Jason now, not Jax. Is there a distinction between Lala and Lauren?
You know, I was thinking about this the other day because I'm like, no, if I were to say that there is, it's like you're that narcissistic that you can sit there and be like, well, Lala did that, not Lauren. You know, it's weird. The only so I don't think that there's a difference at all. The only thing I would say is, like, people back home know Lauren that went to high school with them, and that would be the only difference. Like, if they called me Lala, it would just be weird, but it's not like I'm a different person. You know, I'm still a badass motherfucker.
Well, we're going to tread lightly here because we have some questions about your boyfriend.
Okay.
Starting with, you're wearing a beautiful ring on that finger.
Thank you.
Significance?
You want to know what's so crazy is I had this last season and no one said a word about it. And now this year, it's like everyone noticed it. He gave this to me and basically just said, this is me letting you know I'm committed to you and it's just you and me. And it's the ring before the ring is what he likes to call it. But we are in no rush for, you know, when something's good, it doesn't need to change.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's so sweet.
I love that you always refer to your boyfriend as your man.
That's like, my man.
Yeah. Have you always called him your man?
I'm such a weirdo. Can I tell you? That goes back to Beyonce. She always refers to
that her. Makes me so happy.
No, seriously. I always remember her being like, that's my man. And I just feel like it's such like a sexy, like, that's the one. So I've always referred to him as that. And I've never really noticed until people are like, oh, enough about your man. And I'm like, I'm going to say it more just to piss you off. You know, I'm that person where it's like, oh, you think I'm annoying now? I'll really get in that skin. You know, yes. I should probably stop.
No, don't, please. Does he watch the show?
Yes, he does.
You don't like that?
No, because I think people are mean and it's just then you see a side to me that I don't necessarily. Like, my family, I don't allow them to watch the show. But with my man, it's his weakness. He watches. And then, fuck James. I'm like, honey, remember, we don't deal with peasants. We're fine. That was fucked up. I'm sorry.
No.
I mean,
you're like, keep going. Yes. Throw that shade.
So you don't watch together. He watches on his own, and then you get the text.
Well, I probably shouldn't say this, but when I get the, because obviously we have the luxury of watching the episode before, I let him see, just because he's been spoken about in not a nice way, that I don't want him to ever feel blindsided on a Monday. You know, it's like, let's not start the week off bad. Let's like end it bad and get drunk this weekend. And then by the time Monday comes, we've forgotten about
right.
it.
I love that.
It's a good philosophy.
Yes. Get ahead of the drama.
Exactly.
Well, are there any misconceptions you want to clear up about your relationship?
I think the biggest one is that I did not wreck anybody's home. His ex-wife is already happily engaged to someone else. They met a few months after Rand and I got together. And, you know, we celebrate birthdays for the kids together. And it's just, you know, I've always resented that name of homewrecker because I definitely believe in marriage. My parents have been together a long time, like 40 years. So that's like a good amount of time. Yeah, that's the only thing I would want to clear up.
Yeah.
Is that we did things properly. There's a time and a place. And I didn't feel last year was the time or the place to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah. We want to take on some of the other drama from what's going on this season. Jack cheating on Brittany with Faith was like a huge bomb to start the season off with. Were you disappointed in Faith being her friend?
I was disappointed in her for the way that she handled it because the way that she relayed it to me, I knew that they had slept together literally an hour after it happened. And, you know, I tried because I had such a tough season the year before. I'm like, I just wouldn't say anything. Well, then there's a recording and then somehow James has the recording. So I kind of felt like I was a little bit played. You know, it's like I already am not in great with this group. And now I'm put in a position where you're making everybody sit there and go, wow, we apologize and we want to make this right and get to know you. And you're kind of, if this all comes out and I know about it, you're proving them right about every conception they have of me. And I just, like I said, I don't have time to sit here and have surfaced friendships. And then I had found out through the grapevine recently that she was not kind about me even when we were friends. And I'm a loyal soldier. When I have a friend, it's like, you're not going to catch me talking badly about you. I'm always going to defend you. So that was hurtful too. Yeah, I don't have any, you know, if I saw her in a nightclub, I would say what's up. But I said this before, it's a luxury to be around me. You know, like yeah. sipping yes. a great right. glass of champs on a G5. So
we feel very lucky.
Yes. That's what I
mean. Gosh, Lala, you're shooting yourself in the front here. Shut up.
I genuinely feel very lucky.
Well, that's how I feel being around you guys, too. Aww. I do. Anyone who's kind, I'm like, you know what? And that's another thing. I'm like, women need to remember, it is a luxury to be around you. You know, that's not something that you just get. No. You know, put the pussy on a pedestal. Remember your worth.
Stassi was recently asked this on Watch What Happens Live, and I'm curious what your opinion is.
Okay.
Do you think that with Faith, that's the only time Jax has cheated on Brittany?
No. I don't. And I think Jax is he has a good heart. I just don't think he should be in a relationship. I don't think he... You know, there are those people who just don't have it in them. And I don't think that Faith was the first. And I definitely don't think Faith will be the last. And I love Brittany. She's such a good human. You guys know her. Mm-hmm. She deserves, like, the most incredible man. And I believe if she were to, you know, kind of suck it up for just a little bit and know that it's going to be hard to be without him, she would find that and be so happy. And we'll ditch Jax before we'll ditch Britt. Britt is stuck with us.
That's a common theme. Everyone who comes through is like, no, Brittany stays.
Yes, exactly.
We have a really fun Sophie's kind of choice, but it's a Sophie Stanbury's choice because she was on Ladies of London.
It's Sophie Stanbury here. Get the tunes on because I'm ready to dance, bitch.
If you had to pick a team, would it be Team Stassi, Katie, and Kristen, or Team Ariana and Sheena?
Ooh, this is... I think I may have to go with the Witches of WeHo.
Oh! And was it the bikes?
The scooters? It was just... I've really gotten to know Katie, and we're both from Utah. And Utah, we don't breed bad people. So I think that we were so much alike that we were butting heads. And I love Ariana and Sheena. But Ariana kind of stands alone, and that's what I love about her. But that group of girls, I just feel it's like, damn, y'all have put each other through the ringer, and y'all are still standing strong.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's so shocking to hear you say that about Katie, because I feel like you guys did butt heads so much at the beginning.
We did, and I have really grown to adore her. And her man and my man are like...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
It's crazy. They go and play poker together. My man is like full on bromance with him. I'm like, all right, I get it. You love Schwartzy.
Everyone seems to just love Schwartzy.
He's the best.
Schwartz loves every man. Like, he gets man crushes very easily.
Right? I feel so badly that I would ever say that I like wanted to sleep with him. And I feel so badly that I was ever mean to Katie. I'm like, you guys are so epic. And they're a couple that's going to last. I just know it. Mm. Yeah.
Well, that makes me so happy.
Yeah. Right? We're making moves.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. This was great. Thanks
thank you for having
by.
Me, you guys.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lala, for coming in. And again, if you want to watch a video of that interview, go to bravotv.com. Time for Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Rachel, what was your rose?
My rose was Tom Sandoval in describing Jax's maybe issues with Rob, comparing himself to Rob. He uses the phrase, he is a known thief, which I thought was just like the best ever.
Ever. My rose was kind of sad, but just sweet. So like Carl, we see all these... not so great parts of him, like kind of leading Lauren on this season on Summer House, you know, less stress, more life.
Like, no stress, more life.
But in this episode, because his mom comes to town, we see her really break down over the fact that her husband's left her. And the way she grabs onto him and he holds her and comforts her, it really, to me, painted a more rounded picture of what he's going through.
There's a roof here. Sorry.
Why sorry? Mom,
This is why I invited you out. That's why I wanted you to come.
Watching your parents go through divorce is not easy. And to see your mom crying and upset, it's tough. Like, my mom's looking to me for strength.
And, like, you have to remember, he lost his job this year.
Yeah.
His mom, and he is going through all of this stuff. I think that he has maybe some, like, stuff to work out personally. So, yeah.
Yeah. It was sweet to see that a mom needed her son so much and that he was there for her. But it was also like, ugh, that must weigh on him.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. What was your thorn?
My thorn was just James Kennedy, as we kind of like knew him a couple years ago, came back. Because he just said, like, remember that one season when he was like, yeah, we were boning.
How could I forget?
It was like that James Kennedy came back.
Yes.
When he was talking about Lala. And it was just kind of like, this is someone that, like, you've been vulnerable with, you really care about, and you say things as cavalierly like, I mean, you know, Ray J hit it before Kanye. And it's like, come on, man.
It's just because I was still a broke little busboy. Her man was the guy that had all of that, so she went running along with him. Do I think that could have happened? Absolutely. You know Ray J hit it first before Kanye, right?
And also, if you're the white Kanye West, you're mixing your metaphors.
Totally. And I hate a mixed metaphor.
But yeah, I just was like, come on, you're better than this, James. Like, why? I think it's like a defense mechanism because I think he's really upset about Lala. So he's just treating it like, if I treat it like a joke, everyone will. No, we see you.
My thorn was Sheena talking about what her and Rob's daughter's name will be.
Ugh.
We talk about having kids and getting married, and we're looking at houses together. Rob and I have named our first daughter Madison Marie Parks Valletta.
Okay. Bullshit. Because literally every name you hear, you say, going on the list.
I'm married. I'm married.
No.
That's the difference.
No.
Because here is my thing. He is not even saying I love you. It's more about being the cool girl. You just have to, like, keep it under check until he is, like.
No, let that freak fly, Sheena.
It's literally out of a playbook in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
No.
So, there you go.
There is a passage in the movie and book Gone Girl.
No, I knew you were going to say that.
Cool girl. So, I think we should all just read that.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes you have to be the cool girl.
Mm-mm. Only do what you want to do. What would Lala say?
What were your roses and thorns this week? Tweet us at Bravo TV using the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
And the hashtag Rose and Thorn.
Yes.
We wanted to do some fan shout-outs.
Fan shout-outs.
It's just a bird, you guys.
Runner Twin Mom wrote, first of all, love the podcast. My husband is so thrilled I have an outlet for the Bravo news. Second, can we just start calling Stassi's boyfriend Patrick Lex Von Weber from Odd Mom Out? The man bun and the way he talks makes it seem like an actual Bravo crossover. I had to look it up to make sure it wasn't.
Oh my God, excellent crossover.
Yes. Love an Odd Mom Out reference.
Kim Glim sent me a picture or like a Instagram from somebody else, but it's a picture that says, I'm pretty cool, but I cry a lot. I was like, so on brand. And she also said, hi, Rachel. I had to slide into your DMs to send you this. I listen to your podcast every week, and it's always a bright spot for me. Thanks for being cool, even if you cry a lot, and always delivering so much entertainment. Also loving news and booze. Double the fun. So yay! Thank you, Kim. I'm going to like frame that.
I don't know if I did this one yet, so just tell me if you recognize it. This is from Molly Scott. Hi, I just wanted to say I love your show. All I want to do is drink wine with you two and gossip about Bravo Lebs.
Aww.
I noticed in the last episode you said we could ask if we want to hear more about our favorite shows. And I was wondering if you would talk about Summer House more. I'm dying to hear your impressions of all the cast. So much love, less stress, more life.
Oh, somebody likes Carl.
Okay, I'm going to put 40 seconds on the clock.
Why 40? 30 is better.
All right, 30 seconds on the clock, and you guys can both share as many thoughts of Summer House as you can fit in, and then starting next week, we'll do even more. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Lauren and Carl, just stop.
Yes, stop.
because it's like painful to watch Lauren because I feel like I know that relationship. And I'm like, he just is not good. He's not in a place.
Also, stop taking your top off, Lauren.
I also am kind of annoyed with Steven because he keeps like being so shady in an interview about Carl. And I'm like, what's going on here? Just talk to him. You can't be mad and not talk to him.
Right. The rumor that about Carl.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Crazy. But then when you find out what it really is. Is it that crazy? I don't know. I need everyone else's opinion.
Yeah. So tweet us.
Beep, beep, beep.
Also, Lindsay, I hope it works out with the trainer. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So, Molly, I wanted to let you know that we will be interviewing Carl, Kyle, and Amanda, and Lauren, all from Summer House next week. So go ahead, everyone, tweet us your questions for them. I'm at Meg Segura.
I'm at Rachie Robb on Twitter. And Suspiciously Small on Instagram.
And I'm at gross_raisin everywhere. And I want to shout out the couple of fans who responded to my Instagram story poll about whether I had to throw away dairy if the power had been out for 12 hours. Your notes were very helpful.
I was like, get rid of everything.
Some fans pointed out and often an internet searching confirmed that like you don't have to throw it out right away, but it will go bad faster. So you should throw it out like before the expiry date.
So what do you do? Just different
fiddling? The buttons are my favorite. The small buttons.
What do you do? So little.
Ooh. So satisfying.
Yes.
Hold it up to the mic.
Ooh.
Sounds nice.
Should we start an ASMR podcast?
ASMR about beauty products.
Oh, I mean.
Can you hear the serum being pumped out?
What's it called? Stippling?
Stippling.
Right now I'm going to stipple. I think it's stipple.
I don't know. I don't watch
stipple.
Enough.
I think it's stipple.
Now we're going to stipple some foundation on Grace's T-zone.